The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be reading about how chronic lesion expansion in relapsing-remitting MS contributes to disease progression, according to a study. The expansion of chronic white matter lesions in people with relapsing-remitting multiple sclerosis determined the increase in total lesion volume and significantly contributed to disease progression, a study has revealed. The study, Expansion of Chronic Lesion is Linked to Disease Progression in Relapsing-Remitting Multiple Sclerosis Patients, was published in the journal Multiple Sclerosis. MS is characterized by inflammatory demyelination, loss of myelin, the protective coat of nerve fibers that presents as new lesions in the white matter of the brain, and is primary cause of nerve fiber damage. While new lesion activity is typically measured as changes to the combined volume of new lesions plus the growth of pre-existing lesions, recent evidence suggests that mechanisms underlying the formation of new lesions are different from the ones involved in the slow expansion of chronic lesions. Examination of chronic lesions found an inactive core surrounded by a rim of inflammation, ongoing demyelination, and axon damage. This slow-burning inflammation at the edge of chronic MS lesions may be associated with lesion expansion, leading to the progressive loss of axons and worsening disability. To investigate further, a team led by researchers based at the University of Sydney in Australia examined the incidence and extent of the growth of chronic white matter lesions in 33 people with relapsing-remitting MS followed for 5 years. The average age of participants was 42 years, with an average disease duration of 6.5 years. All patients were receiving disease-modifying therapies except one. MRI scans and clinical assessments were conducted in the pre-study period to find new lesions and at 12 months and 60 months. Of the 569 lesions identified as chronic at baseline, 261 were classified as expanding lesions, and 236 were stable, and another 72 were shrinking. Also, 139 new lesions were detected. Lesion expansion was the primary reason for volume change, with the average volume in expanding lesions being significantly larger than the average volume of shrinking lesions, 120 cubic millimeters versus 37 millimeters in shrinking lesions. Overall, there was a significant increase in the total brain lesion volume from baseline at 12 months to follow-up at 60 months, which was mostly due to an increase in chronic lesion volume over new lesion volume. While the rate of chronic lesion change varied considerably, 15 out of 33 patients demonstrated a greater than 10% enlargement of chronic lesions. Patient age was significantly associated with the percentage of chronic lesion volume change, with older individuals showing a larger number of expanding chronic lesions. Although the researchers found no association between expanding chronic lesions and the patient's sex, type of therapy used, disease duration, or baseline lesion volume, there was a significant correlation with brain shrinkage as well as change in the expanded disability status scale. These findings indicated that the expansion of chronic lesions is associated with both radiological and clinical markers of disease progression. Statistical analysis found that both new and chronic lesions contributed to brain atrophy, with the effect of chronic lesions playing a larger role. A similar analysis using EDSS progression demonstrated only chronic lesion expansion contributed to disability. The degree of tissue damage within chronic lesions was measured by mean diffusity, in which an increase indicates progressive damage. The degree of chronic lesion volume change correlated significantly with the level of mean diffusity with lesions at baseline during the study period and by the end of follow-up, suggesting that the degree of progressive tissue loss inside chronic lesions is associated with ongoing inflammation at the lesion rim. The rate of chronic lesion volume change and an increase of mean diffusity inside the lesions during the follow-up period was also strongly correlated. Growing chronic lesions primarily drove these changes in mean diffusity with the lesion core. In summary, the expansion of chronic white matter lesions in patients with relapsing remitting MS is the primary determinant of the increased total lesion load and significantly contributes to disease progression, the team wrote. Low-grade inflammation at the lesion rim is driving, at least partially, axonal loss inside the chronic lesions and brain damage outside the lesional tissue.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Jesse Ace, and I'm one of the columnists for MS News Today. I'll be reading one of my articles from my Disabled to Enabled series.
How to survive the end of the year when you have MS. The end of the year is incredibly difficult. We already have to put up with so much more than others because of our multiple sclerosis. In addition to that, the weather changes, the clocks turn back, and there is less sunlight, meaning vitamin D is in short supply, unless we opt for a supplement. All of these changes can exacerbate our symptoms, such as pain, fatigue, and cognitive problems. This time of year also sticks us into more encounters with people who don't understand our illness. Despite the pandemic, there are far more social interactions than usual, including Zoom-hosted or physically distanced parties, special meals to celebrate the holidays, and gatherings with family we may have not seen in years. This can cause us some serious sensory overload and have a severe impact on our mental health and MS symptoms. It is exhausting to be around people who are unfamiliar with MS, explaining it to them, reliving our diagnosis over and over. Because we see so many people, we often hear that classic line, "I'm tired too." I have considered creating and handing out a special pamphlet called "Things I Am Tired of Explaining" instead. In addition, the spread of cold and flu germs is widespread, and those of us with MS and compromised immune systems inevitably catch something. I think I've caught at least one cold every winter, except for one. Apart from explaining a million times over why my tired is different from your tired, the most challenging part is that I look healthy and people forget that I'm ill. Family and friends are often surprised when I don't want another alcoholic drink or when I start falling asleep at 9:30. Many people try to guilt us into things at this time of year too, like they'll say, "Oh, come on, just one more, it's Christmas," or "Stop being a party pooper and join in, it's Thanksgiving." And explaining to a small child why Auntie Jess has to stop playing princesses and lie down for a moment never goes down well. I don't have children yet, so I haven't quite had to figure out how to explain MS to kids. Knowing myself, I would probably write and illustrate a children's book showcasing a unique character that acts differently as a way to explain MS to children. For now, I tell my niece that I'm too tired because it's just easier. Sometimes my niece understands and respects this far more than adults do. How do you explain your MS to children? Is there a way to make this whole thing easier? It's important to be as transparent as possible, and remember that people don't know any better most of the time. It's really easy to get annoyed at others for not understanding, but unless we keep telling them, how will they ever understand, you know? Don't get me wrong, it's super frustrating and we shouldn't have to put up with it, but we do. So how do you manage expectations from family and friends at the end of the year?
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.